It's possible to be chasing after God without ever meeting God, without ever having a personal experience with God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will hear from Pastor Brian Grant this evening is the first of a three-part mini-series within the larger series taken from the life of Abraham. We are now nearing the end of Pastor Grant's series from the life of Abraham, the Father of Faith, and an expectation that we have been challenged about our own faith through what we have learned in this series on the life of Abraham. Pastor Grant has entitled this mini sub-series, How to Know If Your Faith is Real. The messages in this series are intended to encourage self-examination, so we invite you to have your Bibles handy while you listen with us as Pastor Grant begins the first part of this series, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 1. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A young Christian man wanted to grow in the Lord, and he heard about an older gentleman who had been saved for 60 years and was still fired up about the things of the Lord. So he decided he would visit this gentleman to find out what keeps you going. And so he visited the gentleman and he asked him, he said, "Sir, why is it?" By the way, this is not a humorous story. For those of you who think this is going to be a comedy, he asked the gentleman, he said, "Why is it that some Christians are so fired up about God? They chase after God for the first year or two after being saved, but after a while they become complacent. And shortly after, there doesn't seem to be much difference between the Christian and the non-Christian." The elderly man said, "Let me tell you a story. One afternoon I was sitting here," they're sitting on the porch. He says, "I was sitting on the porch with my dog," and he said, "all of a sudden, a big white rabbit ran across the field in front of us." He said, "the minute my dog saw the big white rabbit, he sprang into action and started chasing the rabbit with all the passion he had." And he said, "shortly after that, a whole lot of other dogs joined in the chase. They were attracted by the barking of my dog, and they started chasing this big white rabbit." He said, "they chased the rabbit through the fields. They chased him through the creek. They chased him through the bushes and through thorns. But," he said, "after a while, I noticed something. One by one, the dogs stopped chasing. After a while," he said, "the only dog that was chasing the rabbit was my dog." He turned to the young man. "Young man, that's the answer to your question." Just like you. The young fellow was puzzled. He said to the man, he says, "what is the connection between the dog chasing the rabbit and why people don't pursue God?" The elderly man said, "the problem, my friend, is that you didn't ask the obvious question, because the answer is in the question. The obvious question, sir, young man, you should have asked is, why did the other dog stop chasing the rabbit?" "Young man, the reason they stopped chasing the rabbit, they never ever saw the rabbit." He said, "if you've never seen the rabbit, it's hard to keep up the chase." As I come before you this morning, I come recognizing that it's possible for you to be chasing after God without ever seeing the prize. It's possible to be chasing after God without ever meeting God, without ever having a personal experience with God. And my friend, if you're one of those, because it happens a lot in churches, you know, where we're pursuing God, we're active in church, we're running here and we're running there, but we have never ever met God. It's easy if you have never ever met God, if you have never seen the prize. It is easy when times get tough. It is easy to give up the chase. Did you know it's possible to have a counterfeit faith? The Bible indicates that not everyone's faith is real. So today I want to begin, because listen, if it turns out that you have a counterfeit faith, that counterfeit faith won't take you to heaven. And so this morning I am beginning what I believe is an important three-part message designed to help you make sure that your faith is real. What does real faith look like? Genesis 22 gives us three important keys about real faith. And so for the next three messages, I'm going to park right here in Genesis 22. For our visitors, we've been going through the life of Abraham. We're almost at the end. We're going to finish this at the end of March. But for the next three messages, I'm parking right here in Genesis 22 as I discuss how to know if your faith is real. Abraham had waited a long time to have Isaac. By the time Isaac was born, we saw that in last week's message, Abraham was 100 years old. And you can imagine, when a man has a child in his old age, that's really special. Amen. I won't call any names, but some of you are out there. I hear one person groaned already, or praising the Lord already. But in Genesis chapter 22, God asked Abraham to do something that was especially difficult. Turn in your Bible to Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 2, take now your son, your only son, who you love. This was not easy. What was even more difficult, Isaac was a teenager. And most of us know teenagers are not always cooperative. Am I right about that? So here we have a situation. Abraham commanded by God to offer his son. And this is not a message where I'm going to go in. Was this, and why did God ask him to do this? We're not going to go into all those details. God had no intention that Abraham would sacrifice his son, by the way, for those of you in case you're worried about that. Nowhere in scripture do you see God actually having anyone sacrificed, except when it came to his own son. That's another message. But despite how difficult it would be to get his son to cooperate, or it could be, the Bible doesn't go into that, Abraham decided to obey God, and he did it immediately. Listen to me. In Genesis 15, I don't want you to turn back there, we learned an important spiritual truth about faith. We learned then that salvation comes by faith. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Amen. Salvation is by faith. Abraham believed God. That's Genesis chapter 15. But in Genesis 22, God would teach us another very important spiritual truth about faith. And I don't want you to miss this. Here it is. Real faith must be accompanied by works. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and that's close to the end of the Bible. James chapter 2. And I want to read something here that tells us about the story of Abraham, and it talks about what happened here in Genesis chapter 22. And God gives us some spiritual teaching behind what happened in Genesis 22. And in James chapter 2, verse 14, here's how it reads. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I want to share with you in the next half an hour five important points regarding this teaching. Number one, simply believing in Jesus cannot save you. Now that might shock some of you, but I want you to get it. Simply believing in Jesus cannot save us. James chapter 2 verse 19 says this, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. You know, in Mark's Gospel chapter 3, it tells us that whenever demons saw Jesus, they fell before him and shouted, you are the Son of God. Listen, the devils, the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe. Listen, their belief brings an emotional response. I hope you saw that. The verse not only says they believe, it says they believe and tremble. There is an emotional response because of their belief in God and belief in Jesus. They actually tremble. So let's not base our ticket to heaven just on the fact that we believe or that we had some emotional experience.
Please stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. On Sunday, April 9th through Sunday, May 7th, Pastor Grant will be presenting a series of messages based on the book, The Case for Christ. This is the true story of an award-winning investigative journalist and avowed atheist who applies his well-honed journalistic and legal skills to disprove the newfound Christian faith of his wife with unexpected life-altering results. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant presents a Bible-based message integrating historical, reasoned, and evidential basis for our Christian faith. And now we rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
This is sometimes when we interview individuals who desire to become a part of our fellowship. We always want to press some more when they tell us, I went to a church and I felt this feeling come over me. I had this sensation and I broke out into tongues. If that's what you tell me, I have to ask you a whole lot more questions because some emotional experience does not mean that you are saved. In our Christian circles today, there's too much confusion, and we believe because I said a prayer. Come on now, there's some of you here who are basing your thinking that you're getting to heaven simply because there was a time that you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And I'm here to tell you that simply believing in Jesus cannot save us. Now, don't get me wrong, believing in Jesus is critical for salvation. And emotions are important because, listen, you cannot be saved unless there is some sense of sorrow about sin. Believing is important. Emotions are important. But there's something much more. 41 years ago, I stood in the front of a church. We were still little kids. And I watched a spectacular young lady walking down the aisle. She had a beautiful white gown. Her name is Cheryl. I had on my tuxedo, my bell-bottom tuxedo. Had my little beard, my little goatee. I had my version of an afro, in case you didn't believe I once had hair. I believed she would make a good wife and a good mother. By the way, I always thought about that before. Will this lady make a good, young lady make a good mother? Some of you run into marriage and you're not really thinking. This is not a marriage message. But I believed. And I had emotions. My heart was going bump-ti-bump, bump-ti-bump. I believed, I had emotions. But do you know, just because I believed and had emotion, it didn't make her my wife? So the minister, he said, Brian, Hugh Grant, do you take Cheryl Hart to be your lawful wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer? And you know the, and guess what? I said what? I will. I exercised my will. I made a commitment to this lady right here. I made a commitment. And I'm here to tell you, you can pray, you can believe in Jesus as much as you want to. You can have as much emotions as you want to. But until there is a commitment of the will, where I said, yes, Lord Jesus, I will receive you. I will repent and I will give you my life. Are you with me this morning? Simply believing doesn't do the trick. Now, I can hear somebody, you're saying to me, Pastor, are you sure? Aren't you sure you're not contradicting Ephesians chapter 2? Verse 8 and 9, and I'm so glad you're such a good Bible student. So let us look at what Ephesians chapter 2 says, because we want to make sure we're teaching the Word of God. Listen, we want to make sure what we're saying is not just our opinion, but this is what God is saying. Amen? So turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And here's what it says, because these are the verses that sometimes we come to when we hear teaching like this. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here's the second point I want to make as I deal with this passage. Salvation is a miracle of God's grace. Salvation is a miracle of God's grace. Here, get this. To be saved, we must grasp the necessity of grace. We must grasp the necessity of grace. Amen? We've got to grasp the necessity of grace if we're going to be saved. Verses 1 to 3 of this passage, Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 1 said, you he had made alive, who were what? We were dead. We were spiritually dead. My friend, if you're here, you need to realize that you and I were all born spiritually dead. You see, when God made Adam and Eve, he had fellowship with them. God would actually come and fellowship with Adam and Eve. Can you imagine fellowship with the Lord God Almighty one-on-one? Think on that. Oh, I know you got some idol. You know, when I say idol, I mean some movie star, some figure, some sports figure that you just wish you had a relationship with. But can you imagine having a one-on-one relationship with God? Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, and they sinned, and it broke the fellowship. And so as a result of that, the Bible says, you know, what is so tragic is that some preachers don't even want to preach about sin. In my Sunday school class this morning, one of the young men raised that fact. So people don't want it. I actually have heard preachers who said, I'm not going to preach about sin because sin is so negative. But listen, you could come in here not liking the word sin, but it's a good word. The reason sin is a good word is because there is a solution for sin. But if I might use a term, let's not believe alternative facts. You see, some of us have believed an alternative fact, which is a lie. That there is some other way. We were not really sinners. I'm not that bad. My Bible says we were what? Dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were dead, dead, dead. Verse 3 of Ephesians 2, where your Bible is right now. Here's what it says. And as a result of this, we were by nature children of wrath. We were objects of God's wrath. We were deserving of God's wrath. You could say whatever you want to say. God has spoken. And God says, because you are a sinner and I am a sinner, we are deserving to go and roast in hell. Well, that's another word people don't want to preach about anymore. What has happened? Why have we rewritten stuff? Why are we creating this new set of rules and facts? God has spoken, and God says, you, as charming as you are, God says you are deserving of his wrath. But thank God for verse number 4, but God, hallelujah, listen, I was deserving of wrath, but God. Verse says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Thank God that despite how bad we were, amen. Young lady, despite what you have done, sir, despite what you have done, the good news is that God loved you while you were in a mess.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.